So it is a beautiful day. We are talking to Imelda May. It's Trina Mara here. There I am. I'm a poet, Imelda, and I didn't even know it. How are you keeping?
I'm very well. How are you, Trina?
Great, great. Where are you now? Are you over in the UK?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm back and forward all the time.
Because I'm sipping a cup of Barry's tea here, and I wondered if you'd be jealous if that would be your thing or not. Do you know when you go away from home, all you want is a cup of tea?
Don't worry, I have me sources. I'm well stocked up with me.
Okay.
Barry's. And me lion, me Tato, and me Kimberly Macados and coconut creams. I have all them. I even have loads of back loaf in the freezer.
You do not. Stop.
I'm a total emigrant.
Can you not get batch bread in England? No.
No, the bread here is awful.
This is so funny. It reminds me of years ago, my late Nana would go to, she'd be the one who'd bring us on holidays to the Canaries or whatever for a week. And she'd bring all the food with her in the suitcase. And she'd be bringing things like, to save money, she'd be bringing things like tomatoes. And we'd be saying, you do realise, like, they grow the tomatoes in Spain and you're they import it over here.
You're bringing them back. When I went back on the plane, Mam always would give me a bag of something to take home with me. And sometimes she'd just be running around the house in a mad rush, just grabbing things, you know. And I remember going through storage and they opened me bag. It was toilet roll.
Sure, where would you source that elsewhere? I mean, you'd never find a toilet roll. That's so funny. I remember as well, here we are talking about food for the whole interview. I remember my mother going to, when my sister went to Australia for a year, and she smuggled the Super Quinn sausages through the airport all the way to Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And there's signs everywhere saying you can go to prison for smuggling this food. She didn't care.
Fair play to her.
Oh, yeah. So listen, it is, I think it's about a year since I saw you do that incredible, and I still think about it, this incredible performance on the Graham Norton show, and it was for your song, Made to Love. And I remember that night, I'd fallen asleep on the couch, right, Imelda, and I woke up to this unreal music, and I tweeted at the time, I remember tweeting going, that is the most incredible performance I've ever seen anybody do on that show.
Oh, my God.
And Imelda May liked my tweet, or somebody maybe from your social team, maybe it was someone doing it for you, and it just...
No, me.
It was
me.
You, was it? I was just blown away. Where do you... Where do you get that energy before you go on for a performance?
Well, that I think that was an extra special one in that it was lockdown and we'd been home for ages. And that was the first thing that I got to do. And it was a bit surreal because when we got there into the studio, I've done Graham Norton show before and normally there's an audience and... It was minimal crew. There was nobody in the studio. I've never seen the studio like that. It was empty. And there was only like three or four of the crew. You know what I mean? Normally there'd be a whole team of people. And everyone was far away from each other with masks. And it was quite strange, you know? It felt weird. And that was the first thing that I'd gotten to do. And I was so excited to do it. Graham requested that song in particular.
Yeah. Because
I was wondering, what song do you do? You know, I'd be wondering, because normally when you go on tour, normally you put an album out and then you go on tour and you kind of get to feel what songs people are getting drawn to more.
Yeah.
And that helps you decide what singles you're putting out. And but I didn't get to do that. So I was like, well, I like them all, or I wouldn't have put them on the album. But I can't figure out what other people like. You know what I mean? You don't know what. So I was nearly going with Diamonds, and then Gray Norton, I got a note back saying he specifically wants Made to Love.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, great, there we go. And I was delighted with that.
Oh.
And I called Gina Martin. I wasn't allowed full band or anything. So I called Gina Martin and Dr. Shola Moth, Shog Bamimu, two of my friends that are wonderful activists in this world that fight for love, because that song is all about fighting for love. That's what we should be doing. We should be loving. And they sang it with me, and I nearly cried while I was singing it.
Yeah, see, you felt the same that I felt watching it then.
Oh, yeah.
It was a moment, wasn't it?
It was a moment, just because we'd all been kind of locked away, and to be able to sing live again was just magical for me. I got really emotional, but I get like that on every gig. I'm one of those people. I'm an empath. I feel everything all the time. I feel all my own stuff and everybody else's.
And to be able to do that as well without an audience, because I would imagine when you're performing, you really kind of feed off getting the reaction from the audience. But I'm sure the crew were loving it.
They were cheering and all. It was lovely. He had a few guests on the stage and they were cheering, and it was lovely. And we felt like we'd done something nice. And it was live. I always sing live. I've never mimed in me life.
Good woman.
And so I was going for it, you know.
Yeah. So. Do you remember on Top of the Pops where the acts had to mime? Back in the 80s, like, they had to mime or else they couldn't get on. And there was one act, yes. I'm not sure, like, she's sitting there and she hadn't started playing her guitar yet. She's on the stool and the song is halfway through, but she hasn't moved her mouth once.
That's them.
Oh, God. So something happened. It's hilarious.
It's better to avoid it. See, I enjoy singing. I like singing, so I would never pretend.
Sure, that's why you're in it, isn't it? Yeah.
The thing when you, I mean, what's the point in that?
Mm, yeah, I agree. So that song's from the album 11 Past the Hour, and you're touring. Yeah. Imelda May is going all over the place. So I know you're doing Belfast on the 1st of May. You're doing Drogheda, yeah. You're doing Limerick, you're doing Killarney, Cork and Dublin. Vicar Street, it's 3 dates there, which is fantastic. Sure, just up the road from where you're from, Imelda.
There's a big picture of me on the wall in there. My face is massive. It was... Harry and Harry Crosby, yeah. Rita Fox, they painted me up there beside the grate. I was delighted. Oh my God, it was thrilling for me. They sent me photographs, but until recently I was back there and I had to walk up and down past it with my trolley. I was going to get me messages. And Violet was going, "Mommy, look!" I was going,
"With your trolley."
And they're trying to go. It was lashing rain. I was like a drowned rat going past. There's people in there looking all glamorous, looking out the window, looking up, going, "Is that a pink dress?" I was like, "What fast, Violet?"
Because another thing that I saw you on, I think it was during lockdown as well, was on Gogglebox Ireland. Are those the girls from the Liberties? Are they really your pals?
Yes, I've known them since I was a child. They were in the Liberties Music and Drama group with me.
The thing so that you went on the Late Late Show for, as in the Late Late Toy Show when you were a kid.
Yeah, so my mum and Tracy, who's on that, her mum, Joyce, they started up the Liberties Music and Drama. And then there was another few mothers and fathers and all that became a thing in our area. So we used to be on shows together doing, it was just the local, in the local church hall. It was amazing. Yeah. And we used to go into these competitions as kids and loved it. So I've known Tracy since that. And then Anita, I've known her since I was a child. So yes, Anita is just, they're just brilliant. Anita is in helping my mum and dad all the time. And I'd be down with her, auntie and her mum and dad every time I go home. But we're just like part of each other's family.
Yeah, oh,
they're
gas, aren't
they? And so she filmed it all the time. And then she was over, came over to pick something up or drop something off. And I said, "Oh, you look very glam." And she said, "Oh, we're filming today. Do you want to come over?" And I said, "Ah, yes." So I just ran over.
That's so funny. It's great as well that you still have the same friends that you had years ago, because when you move away it's hard to keep in touch with people, and people move on with their lives and everything, but they're still very much part of your life. It's gas as well. I saw talking about the album that we mentioned a minute ago, there was a review of the album and it said Imelda May, she could get a party started in a convent. I'd well believe that. Isn't that a great line?
I love that. That's gorgeous. And I'm happy. That should be on my grave, on my headstone when I die.
Absolutely.
I like that. So I like a good party. I do. I like it. It tends to... I launched the paperback version of the poetry book.
Yeah.
Which came out yesterday. And I decided to launch it. And it was a fabulous night. And it ended up up on the table, dancing on the counter.
Jeez, so I'm lucky to be talking to you today, Imelda.
It's always the end of a good night is when an ambulance is...
You're joking me. What happened? Did somebody break their ankle or something?
No, I'm not even going to. No, we had a great night. We had a fabulous night. I went down, the wonderful PJ had it in Sweeney's. He sells James Joyce books and loads of beautiful poetry books in Sweeney's. And it's the original Victorian chemist that James Joyce used to use. And he writes about it in Ulysses.
Oh.
And there's a load of volunteers try their best to hang on to it with their fingernails, because as you can imagine, the developers are always trying to get it off them.
Oh yeah.
And they're in there in Sweeney's, just up from Pier Street Station.
Okay.
And PJ's in there, and they have book readings, and you can log in online and all, and they read a page or two, a chapter of James Joyce, a big group together.
Oh yeah. I wouldn't be intelligent enough to understand that though.
No, hang on. Well, you should when you said that I wouldn't be intelligent enough to understand that. You shouldn't say that. You should never say that to yourself. That's totally not true. And that's not the way to approach any book at all.
Yeah.
So I said this to PJ the other night. I started Ulysses only recently. Because I've never read it all the way through. I've read loads of bits of it and chapters and Molly Bloom's part of the last good chunk of it is back of it. and the beginning and the middle of it. I've never read it all the way through. So I decide, why have I done that? And I think it's because it's been put to me in a negative way that you won't get through it. So I thought, well, that's a weird way to even start a book, to think that you can. So I've read chunks of it. So why don't I just read the whole thing? So I've started only recently, but I think you can, if you get something from a book, if you get something from art, if you get something from music, from a song, from, you know, anything that's creative, well, then it serves its purpose, you know? Yeah. Once you get something from it, it doesn't really matter if you can be able to pick anything apart and understand exactly what's going on all the time.
Mm.
But overall, if you can enjoy somebody's work,
yeah,
and
you're
get
right.
something.
It's not like you're going to have to do a Leaving Cert paper on it or something. Just read it yourself.
No, just enjoy
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
Just enjoy it and don't pick it apart. Just sometimes, you know, writers write with it purposely, with a fluidity that they want you to be brought on this journey that can speed up and slow down as you're reading. And you don't get that in school because they make you examine things. You're supposed to maybe spend a bit more time on one page than another, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's a journey that you go along.
Can I ask you something that I didn't know? Mm. I read that you went to the senior college in Ballyfermot. Is that right?
Yeah, I went to art college.
Oh, did you?
I did a year, foundation year.
Yeah, because I went to Ballyfermot in the 90s, later in the 90s as well. And I never heard that story before. I just came across it there. You were going to be an artist, were you?
Yeah, I think most musicians were. I did art, graphics and printmaking. And then I did a little bit of photography as well and life drawing. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, the nudie drawn, Imelda May. She's very bold. She loves the nudie drawn.
Well, life drawn is spectacular. It's the best way to... If you get good at life drawing, then you get good at the rest of it. It's one of the bases of it, because you get texture and shade and positive and negative, light and dark. And within a second, the person can move and it's a totally different drawing again.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And there's nothing wrong with us as humans naked. We've just been told that it's wrong. But I think we're beautiful in every form and all our shapes and sizes and lumps and bumps and whatever way you are. I think we're very lucky to be healthy and alive. I love life drawing.
You would make a great counsellor, because during this chat you've already boosted my confidence when it comes to my intelligence. You're saying about don't be ashamed of your bumps and your lumps and all. You should go into counselling as well.
No, I think the world is set up for this perfectionism, and it's not true. It's all fake and false. It's not the way we are. It's not the way we should be. You know, and I think social media and a lot of high profile people are guilty of adding to the fire with that. I don't think that's the way. I think the beauty is in the imperfection. That's where I think the beauty lies. The real honest truth and imperfection. And that's where the reality and the beauty lies. Really.
Imelda,
I believe that with all my heart and soul.
Your image has changed quite a bit since you kind of really got your success, like you became famous, I guess. What did you do with all those dresses that you used to wear? You're probably not really wearing them anymore. Whatever happened to them?
I sent loads of them to the charity shop.
Did you?
Loads went to the charity shop. Violet played with some of them. I gave loads of them to my ex-husband's girlfriend. And I kept some of them.
They're really iconic dresses as well.
Spread them out. I gave them to me sisters, my cousins and all. They all, when there's nothing on, they all laugh. They come from Michael. But you see, it's not a big deal. You see, I got known for a blip of time. I got known for a little period in time, but it's not my whole life. I've changed a million times before that, and I'll change a million times after. You know, you're supposed to change.
Sure, me back in the 90s, Imelda, I thought I was an All Saints the way I was dressing.
So imagine if you got known for that, and for the rest of your life they're going, why did you change from that?
Yeah.
Would you not go back to that? And you're like, what?
I'd be like, if only I could fit into the Imelda, I'd be back there. Like a light.
You're supposed to move and change all the time.
Yeah.
And I'll continue to do that.
Well, look, it's been absolutely fab catching up with you. I meant to just mention your mum at the beginning. I hope you're okay. I'm so sorry to hear of the loss of your mum there. It's a few months now,
you.
I know, but like, it never gets easy, does it? It never gets easier.
No. Well, no, it's early days, yes. Because it's the first of everything coming up, you know. It's the first
Mother's
Day without her. It was the first Christmas. So that's hard. But there's no one, you know, I've said this because there's no unfairness in her death. She got the dream death that anybody would want. And we all have to die.
Mm-hmm.
And she got the one that, if you could tick all the boxes, she got that one. And I'm really glad for her that she did. She was home and she was warm and she was taken care of. And she'd lived a long, happy life. So she got all the things she deserved. So I'm really, really lucky. And I'm lucky it wasn't during lockdown, because she was taken off in an ambulance and in hospital on her own. So that was our fear, was that she'd die on her own in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we got her back, and then we got more time over than we expected. So there's nothing unfair, you know. She's not a child or went early, you know. There's lots of unfair deaths. She got everything. So I'm glad that gives us, the whole family, great comfort. But we still want her around forever. We still want her to live forever. And we still feel like a bunch of babies that want their mammy. You know,
I don't know if that
ever goes, you know.
And if something happens in your life, the first thing you want to do is ring your mom, isn't it, kind of thing? And
that's the constant. Anything happens, I go to ring her, and then you forget for a second, you know. And so we're just minding. We're rallying around Dad. We're minding him now. So,
yeah. Oh, good for you.
We're bringing him out. So if anybody sees him on the street around, go over and say hello to him. He loves anybody knowing who he is. He shouts, "Don't you know who I am?"
So he's a bit of a character. So he didn't lick it off the stones, Imelda, did you?
He's a massive character, yeah. I'll be bringing him to a lot of the gigs with me. So all people come. I can't wait. I've missed you all. I've missed the gigs. I've missed being together. I've missed live music. I've missed my band and the venues, and everybody's been hanging on in these venues, and the venues have been really trying not to close their doors for good. So we all need to support art in every way. You know, I'm going out to the theatres and I'm going to gigs, and we need to do that to support, because, you know, any creatives we've all had a tough time.
Yeah, I think
we rely
only
on an audience, you see.
I think we only realised just how much we needed it in our life when we didn't have it. So people are going to be definitely out enjoying themselves again.
It's like being in a relationship. You take people for granted sometimes till they go away, and then you're like, I want you back. I missed you.
Yeah.
So I hope you've missed us all. And
of course we did.
Gigs. And I'll be bringing my dad to the gigs as well, actually, sometimes, because he loves it. But there'll be loads of my friends and family. But we're sorting out rehearsals and the whole shebang. I've ordered a bottle of champagne for every single gig for me and the band to make a toast at the end of every gig. Just
okay.
To be so glad.
So there
that
might
we're
be an
together.
Ambulance outside at the end of every gig.
If it's a good night, there will be.
Speaking of which, just very finally, you mentioned there about it being like a relationship. Your fella is gorgeous. I was looking at a video there of him singing with you, and I was going, hang on a second, the way they looked at each other, there's a spark there. I didn't realise he was your fella. I was going,
he's
the
gorgeous.
Chemistry. Well done, Imelda. He's lovely.
Lucky. He's brilliant. And he's so talented as well. He's great. He's always singing and playing around the house, but he's now sweetheart.
The talent oozing out of your household. Listen, I'll let you go. Imelda, thanks so much for your time today.
You're so lovely. That was a lovely chat.
Go and see Imelda.
Thank you,
on tour.
Thanks a million.
It's been lovely catching up. See you now. It's something for the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.